Real quick, we talked to 1,500 customer success professionals about why they're leaving their jobs, and the results were surprising. Turns out the vast majority are leaving because they're unhappy, not because of money, not because of layoffs. They're unhappy. So if you're a CS leader worried about keeping your top CSMs, or if you're a CSM feeling stuck and wondering if it's just you, we just released a free report called Why CSMs Leave, The Growth Crisis in Customer Success. Go to carlyagar.com/talent report to get your free copy right now. What if the only thing standing between you and your next big career milestone is just a strategy you haven't heard yet? I'm Carly Agar, customer success veteran, award-winning career coach, and your go-to for getting hired and promoted in customer success. Whether you're breaking into the field or ready to level up into leadership, this podcast is your shortcut to real career growth. Every episode is packed with practical takeaways, data-backed strategies, and zero fluff advice that actually works, so you can start making moves towards your goals immediately. If you're ready to take control of your career, well, then you're in the right place. Welcome to the Customer Success Career Coach Podcast. I'm really excited about today's episode, and I probably say that with every episode, but I genuinely am very excited about today's episode. If you know me at all, if you've ever interacted with me, then you know I am a freak about interviewing. I have always kind of been obsessed with interviewing and turning interviews into kind of like a game that can be mastered and beat. And I know that I've done a really good job of that. And we do a really good job of teaching our clients how to just become better at interviewing. And so today's episode, we're going to get into one of the more advanced skills of being a great interviewer. What's even more exciting is this really isn't something that I've shared in my free content before because it is a little bit more complex. Don't worry, I am going to break it down and make it very easy to follow in this episode. But this is brand new if you've been following me for a while, so you should be excited. What you're going to walk away from today's episode with is honestly an entirely new approach to preparing for interviews based on who you are interviewing with, based on the different round of interview you're on. So, for instance, if you're preparing for a phone screen with a recruiter, versus if you are preparing for maybe a later round interview with a hiring manager, I'm going to teach you how to think about those two conversations differently so that you can be more effective and impactful in each one of those conversations. One of the most dangerous bad habits when it comes to preparing for interviews that I see people make, or maybe I shouldn't say dangerous bad habit, but it is a very, very common mistake that I see people make when it comes to prepping for interviews, is treating interviews like a test where you've memorized answers to all the questions you think you're going to get. I know that is a very common and appealing way to prep for interviews. I know some folks love flashcards. You write down all the questions you think you're going to get, and then you write down your answers, and you just kind of rehearse those over and over and over again. And listen, I understand we're all human. I don't at all mean that you shouldn't prep for interviews, or you shouldn't rehearse some of your talk tracks, or you shouldn't have notes or flashcards of some of the key things that you're going to say in your interviews. That is totally fine. Problem is, well, there's actually a couple of problems with just flat out memorizing your answers to questions. So let me list out a couple of those problems. Number one, if all you're doing is memorizing, that puts you at risk because you're just simply not going to be prepared for questions that you did not anticipate. You're going to be so thrown off because all you've done is drill into your brain these same questions and answers that when you get a question you didn't rehearse for, it's going to completely throw off your equilibrium. It's not going to be easy for you to come up with an answer on the spot. Another reason why I don't love the idea of just memorizing answers is if the interviewer presses you on something, meaning they ask you to expand on something, they ask for clarification, they ask you something like, well, what do you mean by that? Or can you go deeper on that? Or can you give me some examples of that? You might not be ready to explain that thing at a deeper level for multiple reasons, because you're being put on the spot and because all you did to get ready was rehearse your answers. But it could also be because you memorized an answer that is not genuine. Maybe you saw it online, you took it from Google or Reddit or some other place, and it's not an exactly genuine response. Maybe it's not something that you even fully understand. And if you're asked to clarify something, it's probably because they are suspicious that you don't know what it means. And if they kind of like catch you in that, that's going to immediately demolish your credibility. We do not want that to happen. Another thing that I've noticed with folks who tend to just memorize answers to questions is when you are just kind of like repeating things that you've memorized, it tends to sound unnatural, especially to someone who's interviewed lots of people before. And I can say this because I have interviewed hundreds, thousands of people. It's very obvious who has memorized their answers and who has memorized talking points, but not memorized them word for word and is just like repeating them. It's very obvious from the actual person doing the interviewing's perspective. And where that could cause some problems is, I hate to say it, and people, I think, sometimes get upset by this, but the fact of the matter is, part of interviewing is developing a connection with the other person. Naturally, we're going to want to move someone on into the next round if we feel somewhat connected to them. And if all you're doing is just kind of showing up to an interview and spitting out lines that you've memorized, it's really hard to feel connected to that because it just doesn't feel super genuine. Another thing that I've noticed is when you are memorizing talk tracks, this is especially for folks who tend to do that utilizing resources from the internet. Maybe this is super obvious, I don't know, but when you're memorizing answers to common interview questions, you sound like every other candidate, and that's not going to help you stand out. In a competitive job market like today's, you need to stand out if you want to be the person who gets an offer. So it's really not doing you any favors, especially if it's a stolen answer from somewhere on the internet that other people can access. And the last one that I'll share here is, a lot of times what happens when you memorize answers to questions is you aren't actually tailoring your responses based on the person you're speaking to. So you're just giving a response based on the question. If you are memorizing question, answer, you get the question that triggers the talk track in your brain and you just spit out the answer, irregardless of who is doing the interviewing. And this is where I think the biggest problem lies, because every person who interviews you, whether it be a recruiter, a hiring manager, a C-level executive, despite them all being from the same company, they care about very different things. They care about different things in their job. They care about different things when it comes to hiring. They care about different things when it comes to candidates. And if you really think about it, I mean, it makes a ton of sense. All of these people, these different stakeholders or influencers in the decision or in the hiring process, they're all going to have different needs from you if you are to get hired. So think about your direct manager. That person will have different needs from you as someone on their team than someone on a cross-functional team. So what you need to keep in mind as a job seeker is what a recruiter is looking for in your first 20-minute conversation is very different from what a hiring manager is looking for from your next conversation. And when you go to talk to the manager of a different team, or you go to talk to C-level executive, those people are looking for something different from you. And so what that means is the way that you prep for each of these interviews, the way that you show up to each of these interviews, the answers that you give to their questions should all look a little bit different. And this is where just memorizing your answers and repeating them, irregardless of who you're talking to, can really, really hurt you, because it does not take into account the receiver of what you are saying. Okay, now hopefully this is not causing a ton of panic. If it's causing a little bit of panic, that's a good thing. That just means that you're about to learn something. If you're feeling at all uncomfortable, like, oh my gosh, I've been screwing this up, that's a good thing, because now the light bulbs are going to start going off and I'm about to give you the answer on how to fix this. So don't panic. What I want to spend time on today is really just giving you the tools to prepare for interviews slightly differently, keeping in mind who is interviewing you. Now, before I do that, I want to highlight that the most effective way to do this is by deeply, deeply understanding each persona that you are going to meet in an interview process. So deeply understanding recruiters, their jobs, their challenges, their KPIs, deeply understanding hiring managers and what it's like to be a hiring manager, how involved in the process they are, the things that they have to do, the things they're looking for, the things they care about. That is the ideal way to do this. It is not easy to do on your own. And this is truly one of the reasons why working with a coach can be such a game changer, or working with a mentor. For instance, my team and I are able to coach our clients deeply on how to adjust what they're saying, what they're highlighting, how they're preparing for interviews based on who they're interviewing with, because we have, as a team, three huge data sets that tells us what each of these different stakeholders, be it a recruiter, a hiring manager, whatever, are looking for. One of our data sets is our experience as job seekers in customer success. We have all been there, done that many, many times before. The second data set that we rely on is our experience collectively as hiring managers and decision makers and influencers in the hiring process. So because we've made those decisions before, we've sat in those seats before, we know what different stakeholders look for in their interviews. And we also have another unique data set, which is what our now over 600 or 700 clients have experienced in their interviews. So every time we hear something like, oh, I didn't move on from this interview, which was a recruiter phone screen because they said X, Y, and Z, that gets added to our data set. And now we know even more about what recruiters are looking for. And so we can better advise you on how to prepare specifically for a conversation with a recruiter. So the point of what I'm saying here is this is very complex. It's not super easy, especially when you're doing it on your own, especially if you are a career transitioner or you're just younger in your career. So I'm saying this to take the pressure off. I don't want you to feel like you have to become an expert in this right away. You're not going to. But if you can walk away from this episode with one tiny thing you're going to do differently, or just one thing that you're going to think about a little bit differently, that is plenty. I promise you. So without further ado, just get into this sort of crash course in how to prepare for interviews with different stakeholders so you can be more impactful and more effective in each of those interviews. Let's start off with recruiters. Now, a recruiter might have a different title outside of just recruiter. They might have a title that includes the words human resources. They might have a title that includes the word people, might be talent acquisition. When I say recruiters in this episode, I'm just kind of referring to all of these positions. Recruiters have a very difficult job. They have to balance a ton of things. They have to balance the candidate experience. It's very hard to maintain a good reputation as a company that's hiring and keep people in an interview process, especially really good talent. That's not an easy thing to do. There's a lot that goes into it. So they have to maintain the candidate experience. They have to make sure that they are giving off a good reputation. They have to try to hire people quickly while also staying on budget, while also making sure that the quality of these hires are high, meaning they're good culture fit hires. These people are retained. They are also oftentimes helping with DEI initiatives. It is not an easy job. They have their hands in a lot of things. And as a job seeker, the way that I like to think about recruiters, or at least the way that's always been helpful for me, is they kind of act as the first filter for candidates and the hiring team. So they are kind of like the first line of defense between everyone who's knocking on the door and applying to actually getting to talk to the team that is hiring. And the reason that that's important is interviewing takes up a lot of time. When you are on a team, whether you're participating in the interview panel or you are the hiring manager, it is a huge time investment. It's insane how expensive interviewing new candidates actually is. If you add up all the hours of all the people who spend time on assessing candidates, it's crazy expensive. So imagine if a director or manager of customer success or a VP had to interview every single candidate who applied, they would literally have no time to do their job. The company would not survive if we didn't have recruiters. So recruiters help us filter the candidate pool so that hiring managers and teams get the best talent, the cream of the crop, if you will, so they're not spending all of their time on folks who they really shouldn't be talking to. So when you are preparing for a phone screen or a recruiter screen or just a conversation with a recruiter, you should basically be thinking about one thing, which is, how can I check off as many boxes from the job description as possible so they move me on to talk to the next person? I'll say that again. When you are about to talk to a recruiter, you should be thinking about, how can I check off as many boxes from the job description as possible so they move me on to talk to the next person? Imagine that this recruiter literally has a checklist in front of them and it looks like the job description. And as you are having your conversation, they're checking boxes. And let's just pretend there are 10 boxes. And in their mind, they're saying, okay, my filter is, if I can check 8 boxes, I will move this candidate on. So if you need to gamify it in your brain like that, I'm very visual, so that helps me a lot. If you need to gamify it like that in your brain, that can be very, very effective. So what you're trying to do is check a lot of boxes so they move you on to the next interview. So what does this mean for you? What this means is when you're getting ready to talk to a recruiter, what you should be thinking is, okay, first of all, logistically, we don't have a ton of time. Sometimes you only have 20 minutes. So I cannot afford to go into detail on everything I've done in my past. I cannot afford to give every detail of every story I want to tell because I just simply don't have the time. And if I spend too much time on one thing, on one box, then what happens to the other nine? I'm not even going to get to them. If you spend too much time sharing nitty-gritty details on a phone screen, what could happen is you don't get to share enough about the breadth of your experience. Breath with a D, B-R-E-A-D-T-H, not breath that you breathe. The breadth of your experience. And if other candidates checked more boxes than you, they're just going to move forward and you won't, which is not what we're trying to do. So ideally, what I want you to hold yourself to is in every phone screen, you're going to try to talk about or touch on or mention at least 5 of the bullet points from the job description itself, whether you've done that thing directly or something very similar. I want you to try to use words from at least 5 of the bullet points if you can. If you can do more, incredible. If you're struggling to get to 5, then challenge yourself to start with 3. I actually break this down in my free interview training, which is, you can find it at carlyagar.com/freebies. We'll put the link in the episode description. And the name of the training is How to Nail Your Interviews. So if you want to actually learn how I teach this step by step with my clients, it's all there in the free training. Okay, next, moving on to hiring managers. Again, I know this is a term that we use all the time. In case you're not familiar, a hiring manager is often the budget holder for the open role. In most cases, they're also going to be the direct manager of the person who steps into the new role. There's some nuance there, but for now, let's just pretend that that's who they are. And maybe this is obvious, maybe it's not, but typically the hiring manager, their perspective holds most of the weight in who gets hired, because if you think about it, if this person who's joining the team is going to report to me, let's just pretend, it's my KPIs or my metrics or my OKRs that are going to be affected by you. If you're my direct report, your KPIs roll up to my KPIs, and so I should have the most say in who gets to join my team. I don't mean that to say that it's their word against everybody else, but it usually is their opinion that holds most of the weight. So when you're preparing for a hiring manager interview, keep in mind that this person has goals they need to hit. They are just a person who has a job like you, and they've got some goals. Whether they call them KPIs or OKRs, whatever they are, they've got goals that they need to hit in their job. And so they are either going to see you as someone who will make their goals easier to achieve. They will see you as someone who will have no impact on their ability to achieve their goals, or they will see you as someone who is going to hinder their ability to meet their goals. We obviously, I'm giving you the answer, want to be perceived as the person who is going to make their goals easier to achieve, right? How do we do that? Well, with a hiring manager, totally different from a recruiter, by the way, we need to do a very good job of setting expectations of exactly how we will behave in the new role. We want to paint a very vivid picture of what it will like to have us on their team. So if I'm stepping into an interview with a hiring manager and I'm the candidate, my job in that interview is to paint such a clear picture, to give them the clearest vision possible of what it looks like to have me on their team. And by the way, that vision is me making their life and their job easier. So what does that mean for you as a candidate? That means that we want to share more detail than we would have in a phone screen. Because now it's important that we explain the steps we take or the steps we did take in certain situations. So if they ask something, tell me about a time you expanded a customer account. Don't just say, oh, yeah, I introduced this customer to this feature and they bought it for $100K. Because that doesn't paint a picture of what you will do to expand customer accounts when you're on this person's team. You need to tell them exactly what steps you took, who you talked to, how you prepared, how you even uncovered the opportunity in the first place, the questions you asked, the data you looked at, et cetera, et cetera. I could go on for hours about this, but you need to help them picture exactly what it's going to be like for you to be on their team, which is very different if a recruiter asks you on a phone screen, do you have experience expanding accounts? Logistically, because you don't have all the time, it's fine to say, yes, I have experience. Here are the roles where I expanded accounts. Here was my scope with expansions. Like, I uncovered opportunities and I closed them. And by the way, I also exceeded my goal. We don't need to give all the details because we're not going to be expanding accounts on the recruiter's team. But on the hiring manager's team, we will. So when you are preparing for a hiring manager interview, you want to make sure that your answers, if you are preparing stories and following the STAR or SAR method or CAR, there's so many methods, you want to really, really pay attention to that, those frameworks, and make sure that your stories and examples are spot on. I actually talk about this at length in episode 3. So if you want to go back and give it a listen, and I also break this down in that same free training I just mentioned. By the way, this was not at all intended to be an ad for my free training, but if you want more of this step by step, it's all there for you in the free training. Now, let's really quickly talk about cross-functional teams. And I have notes on so many of them. I think I'm only really going to have time to get to one. So cross-functional teams, what do I mean by that? Everyone uses the terms cross-functional. It just means people who you will be collaborating with, but you're not necessarily working directly with. You're not on the same team. You might roll up to the same person ultimately. You might be in the same organization, but you're not on the same team. Whenever you're interviewing with someone on a different team, you're going to want to tailor the way you position your experience to meet their needs. So actually, I'm going to give two examples. I said I was going to give one, but I really want to give two. Example one is if you are interviewing with someone from sales, which is very, very common when you're interviewing for a customer success role, think about what people in sales care about, what they do, what their job is. It's safe to assume that person is going to care a lot about renewing accounts and expanding accounts. They typically care about revenue generating activities. So if you're kind of picking and choosing which stories or examples you want to talk about in your interview, or the specific things you want to highlight when you give your elevator pitch, think about, who is this person that I'm about to meet with? Are they in sales? Yes. Okay, I should probably prioritize my stories related to driving revenue, growing revenue, retaining revenue. Other things that salespeople are going to care about are things like ROI, champions, executive decision makers, customer advocacy. Those are all things that people from sales are going to be excited to hear you talk about because it's related to their job. Next example is customer support or technical support or just really any technical role that you might partner with as a CSM. They are another very common team that you will meet with when you're interviewing for customer success jobs. So let's think about what these people might care about or want to hear from us. Well, what customer support does not appreciate is when CSMs get easy questions from customers and they're just like, oh, I don't feel like answering this email. I'm just going to throw it over to support. Technical support, again, I'm just referring to all technical roles. Technical support is there to provide technical expertise. Do not waste their precious time and energy and brains, their valuable, valuable technical brains on easy questions that you could answer yourself just because you're lazy. First of all, that is a waste of resources. Second of all, that is not nice. That is not collaborative. And it's just not in good taste. So people in technical support do not appreciate lazy CSMs who are just like, I don't feel like answering this. I'm throwing it over to support. That ends up wasting their time. What they also don't love are CSMs. And of course, I'm generalizing here, but I'm just trying to help you get into the mindset. They also don't love when a CSM is just like, hey, support, how do I do this thing? They want to know that you've taken some steps on your own to try to figure it out first. I think that should go for most people. But don't be lazy and just think like, oh, it'll be so much faster if I just ask support. I know they'll have the answer. Try to figure it out first, whether that means you look through documentation, you search old Slack channel. There's so much context hidden in Slack channels, searching emails, whatever it is. Try to find the answer yourself first. And then when you go to that support person, you can say, here's what I think it is. Here's my assumption, or here's what I found. Can you fill in the gaps? Basically, what you want to showcase when you're talking to someone from support in an interview is you are not lazy. You are resourceful. You're someone who takes initiative to find answers on your own before looping in technical support. You are mindful and appreciative of their time, and you want to protect their time and make sure that they are only called in to talk on things that they really are the experts in. So when you are preparing for a cross-functional teammate interview, whether it be a manager or not a manager, it doesn't matter. Think about that person's role. Think about what that person does every day, what their KPIs are. And if you don't know, one of my favorite tricks is to go search for that person's role on the good old Google and find an old job description, and that will tell you a lot about their job. Then think about how can you help make their lives easier? What do you think this person wants to hear from you? How can you be a good partner to them, a good colleague to them? And then talk about those things in your interviews. I'm going to stop there. Otherwise, I could honestly turn this into, maybe I will. Maybe we'll do a bonus 90-minute episode one day. But it's not going to be today. So what I hope you take away from this episode is two things. Number one, memorizing answers to interview questions and just repeating them like a parrot over and over and over again is a bad idea. And number two, think about who you are interviewing with. Who is this person? What is their role? What are their KPIs? What do they care about? What do I think that they would want to see from a CSM on their team, and tailor the way that you show up to that interview with that in mind. That's it for today's episode. I hope this was helpful. If it was, Make sure you subscribe to the show so that you don't miss any future episodes. And I'll catch you next time.